This podcast is shared for the purposes of information only. The discussion does not reflect a direct or implied endorsement by Municipal World or its members.
This podcast is brought to you by Enbridge Gas and the Affordable Multifamily Housing Program. Please visit enbridgegas.com/affordable for more information.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in. For Municipal World, I'm Scott Bokey. This is the NW Shares podcast, where we share the stories of communities from coast to coast to coast. These are the stories of local government, the celebrations of success, the sharing of lessons learned, the cautionary tales, and the keen insights into what lies ahead for municipalities. Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of MW Shares. Today, I'm being joined by the City of Peterborough's Manager of Transit, Lori Stratton. Lori manages the public transit operator for the City of Peterborough and the Township of Selwyn, Ontario. Previously, Lori worked in bus operations for both Metrolinx and GO Transit. Lori and I are going to be talking about Peterborough Transit's Kids Under 12 Ride Free pilot program and what other municipalities can learn from it. Welcome, Lori.
Thanks for having me, Scott. It's a wonderful opportunity to talk transit.
Well, let's jump right into it. Can you tell me who and what is included in this program?
So I'm really excited, we all are here, about the possibilities of the program, especially with the unanimous support of council behind it. So the transition, leveraging the funds from the Climate Change Reserve Project, it's actually going to mean that all kids under the age of 12 will have the opportunity to ride free with unlimited access to all Peterborough Transit City services. Like you said, it's just a one-year pilot project through 2022. Everyone's eligible who's under 12. And one of the things that that we also built into the program was equity of access. So those same eligible kids under 12 who are registered users of specialized van service will also not be required to pay. The only exclusion, and I know it in the introduction, you talked about our pilot service to, it's a partnership between the communities of Selwyn Township and Curve Lake and the city. That's the only exclusion at this time. Anyone who's riding that service still needs to pay the fare for the link. It's a separate and defined service.
Got it. So do riders need to show proof of age? And if so, how?
So no, they don't. So I think we all rely on studies or just being intuitive that if young people learn to use transit early and often, they're more likely to become transit users for life. And that's what we want to build toward. So from our perspective, to make transit access really seamless and positive, a great experience for young customers, we don't want to require them at this time to show a transit pass or proof of age to ride the bus. Our drivers actually are ready to welcome them. They're as excited about the program as we are. There's nothing better than seeing young faces on buses. And to keep it simple, that when the kids are boarding or when if they're with an adult, they just need to let the driver know they're under 12. And it's as easy as that. Some parents, though, and caregivers, I had given us a little bit of feedback. They were worried that their kids look older than 12. So appreciating that concern, we actually make free passes available when they're requested, just to make life a little bit easier for everybody.
You mentioned the climate change funding earlier, and I'm just wondering, what are the primary objectives of this program and how will they be measured?
So for me, the goal is pretty clear. We want to create lifetime transit riders. If we're successful in doing that, then the benefits that I'll talk a little bit about, the benefits of that success, I think they'll be naturally occurring. So many of us rate, so I guess, that well-being of our environment high on our list of concerns. And this generation is raising a generation of children and grandchildren who, like us, are really mindful of their impact on the environment and the future of the environment. And this program, like transit overall, that access is a key part of how we're going to approach that future. Children are going to learn to navigate the city safely. It's a shift in mindset away from the car culture. They'll grow up choosing transit as the way they want to get around. And I think choice is key in that, not must, but choose. What's key is also that they'll appreciate how that choice to use transit contributes to reducing greenhouse gas emissions through the reduction of single seat trips. And as young adults, they're going to add their voice to support for the growth of public transit. And that's a really big deal, right? We want people thinking about transit early on, as you know, when they enter the workforce, when they're contributing to that. I wanted to note, too, that it was in 2018 that the city declared the climate emergency. And we have to be at net zero by 2050. So this is one of those initiatives that will contribute to that. And as well, just taking a look recently, in 2018, our public health unit reported that 22% of kids under 5 and 19% of kids under 17 are affected by low income. And so that, for me, is a clear indicator that the need of this kind of pricing relief to re-energize a commitment to transit is a really big deal, and it'll have a big impact on people who are traveling with kids as well as kids themselves. So we're going to come back to council in a year on what the impact of the project has been, not just with numbers, but with context. Some of those impacts are really easy to measure: ridership and revenue. And I know you can appreciate that we're launching the pilot in a time that's really going to be tough to give a full picture through the course of 2022, especially these early months, given the environment and the pandemic. And so, like all of our partners, that's really changed the way we look at numbers, which can be a good thing too. Over time, we're going to be able to draw some conclusions that paint that picture of the relationship between ridership and the impact on the environment, and we can set targets for measuring how this experience is for our customers as well as the community. How satisfied are they? What's working for them? But I actually think measure's tough here, because many of those benefits aren't measurable through hard data. That's always tough for transit. But I suggest that those things are just as important. Transit isn't just the bottom line economics. You know, the one thing that everyone who delivers public transit sees every day is it's extremely visceral. People are emotionally connected to transit, whether they use it or not. They're vocal about transit, what works, what doesn't. So I think that part of that experiential learning that's tougher to measure, but that we can give voice and context to through our riders and through the community, that's going to build into, you know, learning as we go with the program. So I think we want to, you know, take a look at things like, are people taking their children to appointments more? It's helping people who have low income get to their jobs. Are people better off getting around the city? Do they feel the benefit of the program? And I think that's where we really see programs like this, that those fare relief programs, the value that they provide in a community. We heard a lot from residents before launching this that free transit for kids would increase their own use of the system and allow them to travel more often themselves. And the other group that we heard from was caregivers for groups of children, because they can access city amenities during outings and do it in a way that's cost effective. So that means that all these kids under 12 might have the opportunity to experience all the city has to offer them, feel more connected to where they live, and you know, become good citizens of the community.
Fantastic. I can hear you're passionate about the program. And I'm just wondering, you know, when you were doing your research ahead of time, did you come across any other municipalities that were doing something similar?
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing more incredible than the work being done across Ontario. Many programs similar to this, or programs that partner well with this. So back in 2012, Kingston launched a sort of a dual program. It was on bus orientation as well as free passes for grade 9 students. And that model, I think, boosted them somewhere around 30,000 to over 550,000 riders. Like, I mean, how amazing is that? And the TTC launched their program in 2015. Their child ridership doubled. Go Transit did the same in 2019. And London, which I think is has a lot of interesting things going on as well, when they introduced their program in 2017, they had more than 60% increase in child ridership. So for us, we're going to be a little more modest. We're looking at about because we're looking at network recovery, right, and ridership recovery. So we're looking at targeting around 50% or so. It could be as many as 50,000 riders annually. Again, tough to tell in this climate. But I do think that we can really benefit from the experience of our partners. That's where that's sort of, you know, who built the foundation for this. Some of the earlier folks who were delivering this type of a program. I do think I want to just give a shout out. London's FOB program that I've read a little bit about, where they're tracking boarding. I think that's a fantastic and a fun way for kids to be engaged in travel. And so we want to look at the smart tools everyone else is using right now.
One of the things you mentioned, Lori, a couple of times, and not surprisingly, is COVID and the impact that it's had on ridership. So what other COVID-related issues have impacted implementation of this program? I know it's early days, but so far.
It is early days, but we did go ahead with a scheduled launch in January, Scott, and it's definitely the difficult time for transit to introduce any kind of new programs based on the impact of the pandemic on ridership alone. Kids have been learning online. There's been hybrid offerings for learning. Some parents and caregivers are also working from home. There have been rolling school closures. There are a lot of folks home isolating, those rolling numbers. Every single one of these has been, you know, had a significant impact on transit and, of course, to how we'll view the program in early days. And I think one of the biggest things that we felt, you know, as we're designing, how are we going to deliver this? How are we going to get the word out? That's the real challenge. You know that ridership will come, but the interactive programs, the educational programs to engage kids, caregivers, schools, and all the different community groups. Peterborough has a highly engaged community, and they're very active and vocal about transit, which is fantastic. But the challenge around this particular set of conditions with COVID makes it really difficult to build excitement and interest. And so it's going to be key. We've been reaching out to our partner stakeholders in that, asking them to, you know, to talk up and shout out the program. But that's the biggest impact, is not being able to get out there. And again, I think, you know, it's one of those exciting times for kids to ride, because just in 2021, council approved a new route network for transit. And so this is a great time for kids to get on board and ride, which again is impacted by all of the constraints we're seeing with COVID-19.
So one of the goals you mentioned earlier about the program was to normalize transit for younger generations. Are there any other ways, do you think, municipalities can do that?
Well, Scott, I love this question because it's about being creative and it's about connecting with the new generation of customers. And so for us, it means that the transit team here really has to expand traditional ways of thinking about what it means to just get out there and provide a reliable, solid service. And we have to think more about how we're going to integrate that service in a way that brings value to young people in the community and to their families and to their caregivers. So we've been looking at a number of different programs to build a little of that excitement and education around transit for young people. We have been working with a couple of community groups on a transit mentorship program. So where our customers with experience will introduce new customers to transit, and we will roll that over into our kids under 12 ride free and into schools. The first programs we launched were with Age Friendly Peterborough and the Council for Persons with Disabilities, fantastic partners, lived experience, people that we look up to as role models. So getting those voices out in the community into schools, and partnering in that sort of a buddy program for kids in those more junior years. And then, of course, from that to create transit ambassadors, you know, in our future high school age children. We've been doing a lot of participation at a local level, again, impacted by COVID, but we need to be seen everywhere in our communities. Transit, like I said, has this emotional connection for people, and transit needs to be where the people in the community are. So we try to get out to programs once restrictions lift. We have Transit Quest. That's during the March break, where there's travel training for grade 8 students as they're going into high school, you know, really focused on safety and moving that forward. Things like Touch a Truck, where the city shuts down the main street and kids interact with buses and vans and other customers, and accessibility, boarding, and just the whole experience, the ins and the outs. And then expanding our transit orientation program. Again, we've got great models like Kingston to look to for those types of programmings for juniors and for high schoolers, getting the buses out every spring and the fall to introduce students, talking to them about transit, showing them how the bike racks work, because we launched our pilot in 2020 right before COVID hit. So these are pieces that kids have yet to even, you know, experience when it comes to being guided through how transit can, you know, can work for them and how it can work for their parents and their caregivers as well. And then for us, if we're looking beyond 2022, if the pilot's extended, we'll, of course, you know, look to put that all together in a strategy that makes sense based on what we're learning, on what we learned from this year.
Yeah, we'll be paying close attention. Obviously, there's a lot to look forward to. Lori, my last question is one I ask all guests on this program. What's the best book that you've read recently?
So now I'm going to fully admit to a guilty pleasure. So my reading is an escape for me. And right now I'm actually rereading a book that I've read several times. It's a 70s spy thriller about a Renaissance man. He's an art aficionado. He's an assassin. It's by Trevanian. It's called Shibumi. And it's funny, when you were asking me, I was thinking I'm about to talk about a book that the meaning is loosely reaching a place of effortless perfection, and that is most definitely in stark contrast to the excitement and the daily adventure we all have working in transit, probably more now than ever. So for me, if you're looking for a little bit of an outlandish, adventuresome tale, it's a fantastic escape.
Fantastic. Thanks. So Lori, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today.
Thank you so much, Scott. You know, I think it's really important that we keep transit conversations going. And I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this on behalf of the city and council and everyone delivering this program.
Well, wish you all the best of luck. And thanks to everyone for listening. Be sure to check out What's on First Base in the Municipal World Bookshop. Gordon McIntosh provides a how-to guide for working from emerging matters to valid priorities. On behalf of Municipal World, I wish you peace and purpose. We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic that you would like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to share and subscribe.